Thank you, Lord. Someone want to testify to the greatness of your God.
Amen.
Hey, Pat, stand up and testify. Thank you, Lord.
I can never let a testify go without testifying how good and great my God is always to me. And y'all know how I had that low blood sugar.
Yeah.
Well, today when I was swimming, I ate at 6, went to do my water aerobics, and my blood sugar got down to 45. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm swimming, but I think my blood sugar is getting low because I'm wet. I don't know I'm in a swimming pool. I try to get out of the pool, and I fall back, and I hit my head on that bar that you come out on, and then I hit my head on the concrete, and the good Lord still took care of me. I mean, God, He watches out for me and my family all the time, and I move a lot, so I have a lot of churches that I love, and I'm still a prayer warrior with these churches, and He blesses my churches, He blesses my family. He is always a blessing in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
And give the Lord a hand.
Amen.
Did you bring my Bible in, Princess?
I've got my Bible.
No, I need my Bible. You know, I don't know how you feel about your Bible.
Oh, yes.
But it's sort of like being married.
Yes, sir.
You know, I get around someone else, it's not the same as having my wife snuggle up to me. And that's the way it is with my Bible. I remember when I first got saved that the devil came, and I haven't told many people this, but when I surrendered my life to the Lord, Satan done everything he could to make me turn back.
Oh, yes.
Now listen, I'm telling you, I'd lay in bed at night, and fear would come upon me, and I would get up. Look at that. I would get up, and I would get my Bible, and I'd bring it to bed, and I'd lay it on my stomach and
yes.
cover up. And you know, I could feel the bed. The bed would shake. Satan wanted to take me back so bad. But he couldn't have me because the Bible says that Jesus saves us to the uttermost.
Amen.
And there's absolutely no reason for us to turn back. If you've had that born-again experience, then you know without a shadow of a doubt that there's nothing to turn back to. But Satan will do everything he can because, you see, when you're a baby, you're weak. You're weak. And that's why it says that we need to be filled with the Spirit. And it's a process. And you need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You need to continue to seek the things that are spiritual, because the Bible teaches us that the things of God is spiritual, and the things of the world is satanic.
Yes.
And there is a warfare going on, and God wants us to be suited up with the armor of God. And tonight, as Nikki gets my Bible from the bus, I just want to go ahead and go into my message. And I want to say this. It's not what I think, but it's what the Word of God says. And you should always, always make sure that you don't take a man's word for stuff when it concerns godly things. This is a world full of deceivers.
Oh, yeah.
It's a world full of people claiming to be pastors and spiritual leaders that are after money.
Yes,
or after glory.
Yes,
and, you know, you need to get in that word. You need to hear the word. You need to let it go in you. You need to be filled with the Spirit.
Amen.
Now, tonight, I'm going to be speaking from the book of Matthew. I believe it's Matthew. I never forgot. Short-term memory is what they call it. I tell you what, I can remember 50 years ago things, and yesterday I can't hardly. Thank you so much. I appreciate that, Pastor Nikki. Going to the book of Matthew, and we're going to go to the 6th chapter, and I want to emphasize the value, how much you're worth, how much God says you're worth. Now, some people say we're no good, we're no count, but you know what? I'm going to read the report of God and not the report of man. The 6th chapter, we're going to start reading in the 25th verse. Now, this is the words that Jesus is using to people that are always worrying about what might happen, that are not walking with Him and not really trusting Him. Once you really establish trust in the Lord, Paul said, I've learned to be content. When I got a whole bunch, I'm happy. When I don't have nothing, I'm happy, because I know that I'm under the watch and the care of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was a person said that, you know, when you first wake up, you need to acknowledge that you need God throughout the day. And he said, what I do before I put my feet on the ground, I let the devil know where I stand. The Lord is my shepherd. And all through the day, you say, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm following the ways of God and not the ways of the world. We need to establish every morning and make a statement of what we're going to be throughout the day. We're going to trust God. We're going to walk with God. And when things happen and it don't make sense, we're still going to trust God. Because when you trust God in the hard times, God is going to bless you with some good times. Amen?
Amen.
And so Jesus was talking to his disciples. He says, therefore, in the 25th verse, 6th chapter, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on it. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? You know, I'm going to stop right now. Most people that I see are only concerned about how much they have, and they always want more. And they're always worried about what's going to happen. Am I going to be able to do this? I want to go out and eat. I want to do this. I want to do that. And Jesus said, you don't need to worry about those things. If you've given your life to the Lord, the Bible says that all things become new, so you don't have to worry about what is going to happen to you, because God has already promised to supply all of your need according to His riches and glory. And if you can't trust God, who can you trust? And if you get up and you go through the day and you worry about this and where you're going to eat later on, and you worry about what you're going to wear, and you worry about how much is in your bank account, you worry about how much is in your savings, and you're out here trying to make all the money that you can, every opportunity you want to just make as much money, then you are saying, I don't trust God to supply my need. I'm going to take care of myself. And when we do that, when we put God second and us first, we are coming into a great situation of failing and falling. Failing and falling. Remember that. And God is saying, look, I sent my son, because you are worth more than all of the creation. Listen to me. You know why God created everything, the stars and everything that we see, and even the things we don't see, and all the animals and things that He put on this earth? It was for us to enjoy. And the trees and the mountains and the beaches and the valleys and all of the things that this earth is so beautiful. He put it here for us to enjoy. He didn't put us here to worry about what's going to happen to us. He didn't put us here for us to be grabby about everything that we can get in this life. Because whatever you get in this life, you've got to turn it loose when you leave this life.
Right.
He said, "Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet their heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they?" Aren't you more valuable and precious to God, made in His image, and He takes care of the little birds? He makes sure. You know, it's always amazing sometimes when you go to Walmart, and especially down here in Florida, you open the door, here comes the little seagulls or whatever they are, and they're flying down, they're hoping. And the birds, they're flying down, hoping for a little morsel. And you know what? God makes sure they get that. Before the end of the day, they don't go hungry. God takes, He said, "I take care of the birds of the air." And He said, "Aren't you much better than they?" Of course we are. The birds were built for us to enjoy. I love birds. I love bird watching. I love to see them. And hummingbirds is just one of my favorite birds. They are so precious. And up on the mountain border, we just mix up sugar water. Everybody on that mountain, we got hummingbirds everywhere on the mountain. And you never get too many of them. They're so beautiful. 27. "Which of you, by taking thought, can I add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these." I tell you, when I'm traveling, and especially in North Carolina, and we went up to, drove up to Maine, and you see all these beautiful flowers that's been planted by the interstate. And you can see them from a distance. And when you get up closer, wow! Nikki, look, Nikki! They're so beautiful. And you know, isn't it something that God takes care of the flowers? You know, there's mountains that man has never climbed, that there's flowers growing on there. You know why? Because it shows God's glory. It shows God's glory. And yet you are so much more important than these flowers. And when we glorify God, just like you do in these wheelchairs, you glorify God by your trust in Him. And you are shining for God, and the beauty that's coming out of you is much more beautiful than the flowers that God puts everywhere. God wants you to know that you're so valuable that He'll be with you in your darkest hour. That you are so valuable that Jesus came and gave His life so that we can have life and have it more abundantly. We worry about too much. What am I going to do here? What am I going to do there? And God is saying the whole time, if you walk with me, you'll walk in victory, you'll walk in peace, you'll walk in blessings. You know, God is blessing people that will shine for Him and realize that we are the temple of God. This old fleshly body, God loves to live inside of you. That's how valuable you and I are to Him. And He wants to love you and bless you and help you through every trouble and trial that you have. Why? Because His Son shed His blood for you. His Son, through the resurrection power, defeated death. We're priceless. We're priceless. And you know, the people that walk around that should be praising God and are saying, "Oh me, woe is me," they're not glorifying God. They won't get to walk in the blessings of God. They're living a defeated life. And you, if you learn, and you have, and Brother Brown over there has learned, he wanted to come to church because he knows where his source comes from. Our help comes from the Lord. The nursing home and other people can only do so much for us, but they cannot do what God will do for us, because we are worth more than any earthly thing or possession that God has made. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. My goodness, the lilies of the field. I remember when I was young. I don't know if it's different now, but we could run through the fields, tall grass. We weren't worried about snakes. Wasn't worried about bugs. And we'd wrestle and play in the grass. And from a distance, all you could see was grass moving. We was back in there just having fun and flowers. And, you know, we didn't worry about briars and all that stuff. You know, I want to be like that as an old man. I want to laugh and enjoy my life before the Father for what Jesus has done for me.
Yes.
I'm 75 and Nikki's 75. And we work hard at taking care of the temple of the Holy Ghost, because we realize that a person cannot produce as much fruit as a person can that is strong and deep in the Word of God. And so I want to stay healthy as long as I can. But Miss Battles, if I wind up in a wheelchair, God can still use me, because I haven't become less worth. I haven't become less. I am priceless. You are priceless. And age has nothing to do with it. Race has nothing to do with it.
Amen.
Owning things has nothing to do with it. What would you give in exchange for your soul? There's not enough wealth in the universe to buy a soul. There is nothing that can buy a soul except when you accept Jesus Christ, because He's already paid the price for you. He paid the ultimate price. He didn't pay $2 billion for one of your soul. He did all the wealth of the world, but His own Son came. His own Son came and showed us the love of our Father.
Amen.
That He loved us, and Jesus, in obedience to the Father, paid the price, because we are priceless. Nothing. Nothing can buy us but the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Nothing. And I thank You. I thank You for that. That there is no respecter of persons with God.
No.
You know, some people, and we live in a world of racism. Some race thinks they're better than another. Another race thinks they're better than another. And that's what the devil wants to do, is keep us stirred up. We've got to realize that each one of us are priceless, and God created us in His own image. And it pleased Him to make me a Caucasian. It pleased Him to make you an African American. And praise God, we need to love one another and realize that one day we're going to inherit it all. We have a reservation in heaven for us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? You know, that's what's wrong with people that call themselves Christians, that's always whining, always finding fault. That's what's wrong. It's our faith. Our faith is weak. We're believing that Satan can do things to us against God's will. Satan can't do a thing to us until he gets permission from God. And if God says, yes, you can do that, yes, you can bring that sickness on, yes, you can bring something else on, it's for our own good. Because God don't make a mistake, and Satan cannot cross the bloodline of Jesus. Whoa! Glory to God. He cannot cross that bloodline. I don't like suffering, and nobody else does. But if you get the mindset and you have the faith to believe that there is life at the end of the tunnel, and we're always moving, so one day joy comes in the morning. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Joy comes in the morning. I may be sick tonight, but I look forward to the morning because my joy flows in the morning. Each and every day, I'm going to start out, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's leading and directing us and guiding us into the path of righteousness for his name's sake, because we are priceless to him.
Amen.
And he wants more than anything for us to be with him in eternity.
Amen.
That's what he wants. You know what? You can work hard. You can offer this. You can feed the poor. You can give your tithes. You can do this and do that. But if you're not born again, you're going straight to hell. And there goes a priceless thing that breaks God's heart. Every time somebody drops into hell, it breaks God's heart. Because that was not his intention for us to go to hell. It was in his intention, and he will be locked up. Satan will be. And all of the unbelievers will be in hell forever. Now, hell is real. And we're priceless. God doesn't want priceless people to go to hell.
Right.
Somebody say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. The one thing that the Lord is waiting for us to do is say, I surrender all.
That's good.
I surrender all. And then, when we turn our life over to him, we are born again of the Spirit. And then it's his Spirit's job to take over, to come inside of us. And you know, that's why I get hungry for more. That's why I thirst for more. It's because the Spirit in me is saying, you got more. God wants to give you more. We're settling for less when God is saying, I want to give you more. I want you to get your mind on me. God is saying, get your mind on me and trust me and let me help you walk through this journey of life, this place where it's preparation for heaven or hell.
Amen.
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 I feel him in this place tonight.
Yes, Lord.
And I tell you what, God wants us to have confidence in him. God wants us to really have faith. Jesus said, if you have faith, it's grain of mustard seed. That showed me that there's so many people that are saying, I love the Lord, and if you love him, you will keep his commandments, you will trust him, and you will believe that he's taking care of business. Praise the good name of Jesus. Thank you, Sister Karen. Praise the Lord. That's what a lot of parents used to say. Do as I say and not as I do. Make sure to shut that cell phone off. And I'm going to close here. I'm going to close here with a couple of scriptures. The 33rd. I love this. Now listen. This is not a coincidence. Jesus was 33 when he gave his life for you and me. When they crucified him, put him in the tomb, and he rose from the dead on the third day. He was around 33 years old. Now look at this 33rd verse.
Yes.
But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things. Thank Let's you. Say all.
All.
My medicine.
All.
My health.
My health.
My clothes.
My rent money.
I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Now, folks, you either believe the word of God or not. And I tell you what, not one of my kids turned out to be beggars. You know why? Because I'm seeking the kingdom of God, his righteousness. And my seed has not begged for bread because I got the promise.
Yes.
I got the promise. You got the promise.
Yes.
We all got the same promises.
Thank you,
God don't promise me something he won't promise you.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take care, take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I'm going to close with these words here. Satan wants to take you and me out.
Yes, sir.
But what he would rather do than take us out, he would rather for us to lose our witness.
That's right.
Yes.
And once you lose your witness, Satan is the happiest demon they are. Because as long as people see Jesus in us and we see that we're living a Christian holy life, we got power in our prayer.
Yes.
I believe in prayer.
Glory. Yes.
Jesus said my Father's house will be a house of prayer. And you know what? I don't, Sister Dominique, I just don't really think that, listen, I love you, but I don't think our church has come to the point the Lord, we really can get into prayer and we really know how to pray. And you know why? Because we've got into a set pattern of this and that. And I want you to know that a praying church, you'll see things happen like you've never seen in your life. And we're seeing things. I'm not standing up here whipping you with the word. I'm just saying there's always lots of room for improvement for me and you.
Yes.
And we need to learn how important prayer is. And honey, you know what? We need to listen.
Yes.
We used to go to the altar and pray before service. Yes. We used to. I don't see that no more. I don't see that. We need to come and pray. I watched it while I was exercising upstairs. I watched the revival, the Isuzu Street revival, 1906 when it hit. And I want to tell you, people prayed for days. People prayed. It was through prayer that the greatest revival in the 1900s hit us from a little house. And it can happen right here from this fellowship.
Amen.
It can happen with this great big sanctuary, and it'll be so full of people you have to just thank God for it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But we first got to realize that we're special.
Yes.
From all of God's creation, we've been set apart for His good pleasure. And if we can get that in our mind and in our spirit, then when you get these pain attacks and these attacks from the devil or anxiety or depression or brokenness, you can say, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord, let's say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.
Woo, glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Oh. I'm going to close, but I just want to tell you this one thing. We are ripe. We've got a spiritual lady right there. We got several spiritual people in here. We are ripe for a breakout of the Holy Ghost in this place, in this city. We are ripe for it. And it's going to come by us realizing that we're priceless to God.
Amen.
And we want His glory to shine through us. And we're willing to let the Spirit use us.
Yeah.
Now the Holy Ghost, I'm sure Donnie's won't mind if she does, and she'll get over it. But you see the Holy Ghost get on Donnie's. We see how she shakes. Now don't tell me that that's not of God. At her age, if she was doing that on her own, her hip bone would be connected from her thigh bone and her thigh bone disconnected from her knee. I'm just saying, I want to see the Spirit move on us.
Yes.
And for us to realize that we have been called out, we are the chosen, and we are not the frozen chosen. We are God's chosen. Many are called, few are chosen. And I'm just crazy enough to believe that something's going to happen here that's going to wake this city up.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
We're going to be faithful, right?
Yes.
And we're going to look at the people in the seats and not the empty seats, right?
Amen.
And we're going to realize when we get up in the morning that if you trust God for whatever you go through that day, then you got a blessing at the end. Amen. Father, I thank you for this night. I thank you for this time. I thank you for your word. And Lord, I would die for every person in this service tonight. I would step in front and take the vote. And I want to see, God, I want to see you glorified in our life at this church. And that we can operate through the Spirit. Through the Spirit of God. Help us now, Lord. And fill us up to overflow. Let us, God, I want to see everybody in our church drink from the saucer because the cup is overflowing. That ain't asking too much. We're not asking for a new Cadillac and it needs to be green. No. God, we ask you for more of you. Oh, right now. Oh, yes. In Jesus' name, let's give you praise.